The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien, a very good afternoon to you from a very sunny Johannesburg.
Good afternoon. Well, it's sunny here, but there is a zap in the air. It's quite chilly. But Shavuot Tov, everybody. Shalom from Israel. Nice to be chatting to you in the afternoon.
I always find it strange when you guys chat about the weather in Israel and you tell us there's a nip in the air or there's storms predicted or how cold it is and you've taken the jackets out, because the general perception of Israel is it's a warm, desert-like environment, and nobody seems to understand that you guys get the cold.
We do get the cold. Sometimes we even get the snow and we get the rain that falls down sideways.
Well, really, let's get to the business of the day. Israel is back and it's open.
Israel is back and we're open. We officially opened at midnight Saturday, or first thing in the morning Sunday, however you want to look at it. But you know what they say, potato, potato. And we are hoping to welcome droves and droves of tourists. Now, to help people understand what the criteria are, what vaccines are accepted, what forms you may need to fill out prior then to leaving, our Ministry of Health and Ministry of Tourism have opened up a website. If you are planning to visit Israel, please take down the following: https://safe.israel.travel. Everything you need to know about visiting Israel right now while we still have this global pandemic is right there, along with links to the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Tourism, the IDF Homefront Command, emergency numbers, and everything in between. So it's all there. So if you're planning your trip to Israel, which you can now do, we no longer have such a thing as a red list or a travel ban, you are free to do exactly that.
Just give us that website address again.
It is https.safe.israel.travel. So it's the usual thing, the https://safe.israel.travel.
Thanks, Rolien. That's a very important update and a very useful resource for those that are wanting to travel. We've seen the despair of those that have missed the families and have missed just making their regular pilgrimage or visit to Israel. Moving on, let's chat about the BBC updates with that story regarding the Hanukkah attacks.
Well, we've been speaking about it a lot, and it's actually extraordinary. And watching the BBC over the weekend, it just seems to have gone from bad to worse. The BBC over the weekend cancelling a proposed debate or discussion on their Channel 4 news radio, whether or not anti-Zionism should be a protected category. We've had the unbelievable issues around this coverage of the attack on the first night of Hanukkah. In fact, some are calling it the Oxford Street libel case. So just to break it down for people who didn't hear you and I on Friday morning and the subsequent developments, it goes as follows. On the first night of Hanukkah, a bus load of Jewish teens was off to light Hanukkah candles on Oxford Street. Very, very festive. The bus came to a stop, as I'm sure it does, on very busy Oxford Street. And a group of identified now as Muslim youth threw projectiles at the bus, spat on the bus, screamed out Nazi epithets, screamed out Free Palestine, sang Hamas songs, which are now incidentally banned in the United Kingdom. And the Jewish youth on board the bus were absolutely terrified. The BBC, in their coverage of that, said that anti-Muslim slurs were heard coming from the young guys aboard the bus. Now, two independent forensic companies, as well as the Metropolitan Police of London, have investigated all the audio coming from both sides, and not once did they hear any slurs against Muslim youth. What they did here in Hebrew was tikra le mishu zedachuf, which means call somebody, it is urgent. Now the BBC are refusing to retract that. They haven't apologized despite the Board of Deputies for British Jewry requesting an apology. And now this has gone all the way up the ladder, not just to the BBC Director General Tim Davies, but it's gone all the way up to the Culture Secretary, Nadine Dorries. Now, it's very, very serious when something like that happens, because the BBC being publicly funded, it's not for government to get involved with the editorial or with the goings on. That's why there are regulatory bodies like Ofcom, which this case might actually be escalated to, and there are checks and balances with a state broadcaster. However, over the weekend, the BBC demanded the identities of the youth on board the bus. Now, bear in mind they're teenagers, most of them probably minors, and it has sparked outrage across Britain that, you know, this is being investigated as a hate crime. We've had Lord Carlisle, he's one of the peers of the realm, he's an expert in law, commenting on this, saying this is absolutely untenable, that when it comes to investigating hate crimes, victims of hate crimes are often allowed to be anonymous to protect their safety, their identity. But Nadine Dorries has weighed in. She has written it to the Director General, Tim Davie, and said that he better sort it out now. In fact, she said, get a grip. She said this is not only distressing for those involved, but also the wider Jewish community, and the BBC needs to resolve the issue as quickly as possible. So we are waiting for the apology, but I'll quote to you from Nadine Dorries. She is the UK Culture Secretary. She says the scenes on the bus were obviously distressing, not only for those involved, but also the wider Jewish community. I'm aware the police are investigating the incident, and therefore this may have affected how you approached addressing the concerns, but clearly the BBC's coverage of the 29th of November is a particularly sensitive issue. While it would obviously be inappropriate for the government to take a view on the details of the case, as the BBC is editorially and operationally independent, and the responsibility for its regulation sits with Ofcom, it is crucial the BBC can be properly held to account. And she said, sorted out, and sorted out quickly.
Very important story coming out of America. The bipartisan caucus in the U.S. Congress has been launched to advance the Abraham Accords. I think this is very important that we see this continuing after Trump replacement with Biden.
Well, absolutely. It's absolutely that we see the momentum that the United States has been involved with making sure, or with playing a vital role in the signing of the Abraham Accords, which are the normalization agreements between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Morocco, and the Sudan. And of course, we're in conversation with the Comoros and the Maldives to possibly join next, as well as other countries. Now, there's been a lot of debate whether or not Israel still enjoys bipartisan support. We very, very, very much do. And it's very evident when we see stories like this. So this week, we have 8 House and Senate lawmakers who will come together to start or to form a caucus called the Abraham Accords Caucus. And the focus of this will be to support and to promote normalization agreements between Israel and Arab states. Now, this probably sticks in the craw of John Kerry, the former Secretary of State under the Biden administration, who said that Arab states will never, ever, ever normalize ties with Israel until the situation of the Palestinians is addressed. The Trump administration took a completely different approach, thinking that if you normalize ties with the Arab world, the Palestinians could possibly follow suit. So You know, with regards to the Palestinians, that still remains to be seen. They are obviously seeing the fruits of normalization, but we are just really, really happy that support for Israel and support for peace continues to be a bipartisan issue.
Well, that's great news to see continuity from one administration to the next, and of course maintained in the US Congress. Very quickly, we've only got a couple of seconds left. Israel mourns, of course, the death of Ora Herzog, the mother of President Herzog.
Well, all of Israel, and I'm sure all our listeners will join me in sending our sincere condolences to President Isaac Herzog and his brother, the Israeli ambassador to the United States, on the passing of their mother, Ara Herzog, who passed away early hours of this morning, aged 97. She was also a former First Lady of Israel. She was the wife to our sixth president, Chaim Herzog. But she was also a very, very keen social and environmental activist. She helped found the International Bible Contest and the Council for a Beautiful Israel, an extraordinary woman, much loved by everybody, a very, very full life. She has lived, she was born in Egypt to an Ashkenazi Jewish family. She will be interred in the National Cemetery on Har Herzl, and our prayers with her family and her loved ones. And as we say, may her memory forever be eternally blessed.
Rolene Marks, our Israel correspondent, will be back tomorrow at 1720 South African time.